Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fly on the wall.
Welcome to Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with Jamie Malm, our host extraordinaire today. Jamie, thank you so much for having me on your show. I get to be the literal fly on the wall and hear you talk about all these great financial topics, giving strategies and tips and hopefully helpful advice to our listeners out there. But first, I have to ask you, you know, it's Thanksgiving week here. How have you been?
Cannot complain. Thanksgiving is one of my favorites. I love fall overall, which I know we've talked about. Yep. And Thanksgiving is just so much fun, I think, because there's not the pressure of Christmas. It's not as chaotic, although I'm a big Christmas girl. I love it too, but it's good. It's nice weather here. We've got, family stuff on the agenda. So all is well.
Good. Well, and I have a lot to be thankful for, not just you and this radio show and being able to be a part of your show each week, but my family and just, I have gratitude in abundance, we should say, this year. So,
yep, always good to remember to count our blessings.
And yeah,
thank God for all that we have. And it's good reminder this time of year to do that.
Yeah, it is. I think that's great. And, I usually, the tradition is to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the best Thanksgiving movie ever.
I've never seen it.
Oh, what?
I know.
But, Jamie,
I'm sorry. I'm
Planes,
sorry.
Trains, and Automobiles with Steve Martin and John Candy.
Nope.
Oh, it's life changing.
Okay. I'll add it to my Thanksgiving break to do list.
It will set you free, Jamie. It will set you free. This movie. And I am shocked. I've never met anyone who hadn't seen it who was over the age of probably 30, at least.
No, not me.
You're barely over the age of 30.
That's so right. Hardly.
Yeah. So
probably why.
Yeah, that's why. You're too young. There you go. We'll go with that. Let's just go with that.
Okay, let's just move on. Yes.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today? I mean, we're digging into some new retirement rule changes that are hitting us. And I know that there's a lot of updates out there. So if you're saving for retirement or already in retirement, this episode is going to really affect you, right?
Yeah, it's a big year. These changes matter. They impact, of course, how much we can save. They impact how much we can deduct, which we all want to save more money in taxes. And we too often, I think, don't pay attention to the options and the opportunities that we have, and we just record history. So if we can be a little more proactive with knowing these are the changes that are coming and here's some things that I can take advantage of, then hopefully we're able to benefit from that. So let's start with something that I think is going to catch people off guard if they're not aware of it. Beginning in 2026, if you are age 50 or older and your employer wages are over 150, that's the prior calendar year. So we're going to look back to this year. Typically, you would have a catch-up contribution that you could do to a 401k, right? 50 or older, they let you do a catch-up contribution to make up if you haven't saved enough. They are changing that this year, and no more pre-tax catch-up if you're over that income threshold and 50 or older. It has to go to an employer Roth account. IRS is saying the only way we're going to let you take advantage of that catch-up provision is if you put it in a Roth. So it's a significant change.
That's interesting, though. I would think the government would go the other way But maybe they want their taxes now. Now right. rather than later.
We want it now, yes.
Although if they waited till later, it would be more because it rolls up. Probably.
Yeah, you would think.
And taxes will be higher. But whatever. That is interesting. That's an interesting rule change. So let me ask the obvious question. What if your employer plan, the employer you work for, what if they don't offer a Roth option? Now, some employers still only have traditional 401ks, yeah. not Roth 401ks or Roth employer retirement accounts.
Yeah, we still have a lot of employers actually that fall into that boat because it is a fairly new option. You know, if we look years past, a 401k at our employer was typically just the traditional. It was the pre-tax 401k. If you have had a 401k and you are near retirement, most likely the bulk of your plan is pre-tax. And so the option here for Roth contributions in an employer plan is fairly new in recent years. A lot of companies have not made that available yet to employees. So this is something that could really catch people off guard if they were planning on taking advantage of that catch-up provision and being able to contribute more to their 401k. It's got to go to a Roth. And if your employer doesn't offer it, then you can't do it at all. So,
wow. So anyone, to be aware of. And that's for anyone 50 and up or 50 Correct. And older who makes over that $150,000 a year line, they're going to feel this then.
Yep. And we don't want anybody scrambling later to say, gosh, I didn't know that. And sure. this is what I had planned on. So one, if you think, gosh, I might fall into that and you've not done the catch-up provision this year, maybe it's something that you want to try to do. But if your employer doesn't offer at all, the best advice I would say is go to your HR department and ask them if they can revisit their options. Each employer has their own plan that they can set the parameters within that plan. It doesn't mean that it's an easy move or they will, or it's something quick. But if you don't have that option, I would at least make your voice heard. Let them know that is something that you want to have access to and see if it's something that they can make a change within their plan for.
Sure. So that covers basically that mandatory Roth catch up for high earners. And your company has to offer a Roth option to take advantage of that or to do that. It won't let you, if you make over that amount, do the catch up contribution to your traditional retirement accounts. That's good to know. What's the next thing we need to know about or the next change?
Every year we have contribution limit increases, right? And I think everybody is aware of that. There's limits on what we can put into our 401k. There's limits on what we can put into the IRA. 50 and younger is our kind of our regular contribution limits. So that's going to increase for 401k, 403b, 457. Those are our kind of traditional employer plans that we're probably all most familiar with. That's going to increase to $24,500 for this year. And then if you're 50 or older, that catch up is $8,000. So let's just say you're 50 or older, you've got $32,500 that you could put into an employer plan for 2026.
Yeah, and that's real money. I mean, that's huge, right? If you're in a position where maybe you're making enough to where you can make that kind of contribution and really play catch up, that can be very helpful. That's a big number. Do you see a lot of anyone maxing it out, though? I mean, that's a lot of money each year to put into a retirement account.
Yeah, more than you would think. And I just talked to somebody the other day, and I wish I could remember the name of the app, but they had gotten an app on their phone that made saving like a game. You enter your income, your expenses, and it tells you kind of what you're on track for. So the goal at the end of the month is to have more money that you can pay yourself. And so they said it was very motivating. They liked it. It's, you know, I wish I could remember it, but it's failing me now. But a general rule of thumb is that we say, save 15% of your income, pay that to yourself. Well, if you're making $200,000 a year, that's $30,000. So yes, 200 is a significant number, but we have you know, a lot of higher income earners, small business owners, people who are behind maybe on their retirement savings that are going to push those limits, which creates real opportunity. The one thing I would say is don't forget, if you have your contributions set up on automatic payroll deductions, those don't increase when your contribution percentage or when your contribution limits increase. You have to actually go in and change those percentages to take advantage of that.
Wow. Okay. So this is a really, really important conversation to have, and a great year end or January conversation to have with an advisor, right?
Yeah. And it's not just your 401ks. You have higher IRA limits. So traditional and Roth IRA contribution limits are also increasing. This is where we see a lot of people that set up Roth accounts for themselves outside of their employer plans, or they set up Roth accounts for their kids and their kids have, you know, earned income. Maybe they're mowing yards or sure. babysitting. They've got some earned income. We do see a lot of people that are maxing out traditional or Roth contribution limits. So you can't max out both. Obviously, you can't max your traditional and max your Roth IRA. It's the combination of the two. But in 2026, your standard contribution limit is going to go up to $7,500. It's a $500 increase.
Sure.
And then the catch up for 50 and older increases to $1,100. So total of $8,600 if you're 50 or older, total of $7,500 if you're younger. But not everybody qualifies for a Roth. You have to be under a certain income threshold to even be able to put money into a Roth. Well, that income phase out level, that's increasing as well.
Oh,
so okay. Married filed jointly starts at 242, I think. So that is up a bit this year. And I think single is at 153. So when you start hitting those limits, it starts to phase out how much you can contribute to a Roth.
Sure. But they have raised those limits. So that means more people out there can qualify for Roth IRA contributions.
Yep. Gives people more opportunity. When those phase out shift higher, then we see not only can more people contribute to a Roth, but if somebody, let's say we have a married couple and maybe the wife stays at home, husband works. If that husband is covered by a workplace plan, that can impact the deductibility of a traditional IRA. Now going forward, we have that full deduction that is allowed if the couple makes $242,000 or less. So it's broadening the scope of getting some pre-tax money put away and a traditional IRA that's deductible. It's opening the scope of who all can contribute to a Roth IRA, all good things and opportunities that we can take advantage of to, again, pay yourself first before we start losing money to the spending spree of the holidays and the things that come just throughout the year.
Yeah. So basically, anyone anywhere close to these phase out amounts, they need to be paying attention to this.
Yes. And I would say, let's just say that you are not available. You're not able to contribute to the Roth. You always have backdoor Roth contributions, which basically is let me contribute to a traditional IRA. I turn around and I convert it right away. So you are doing the contribution, paying taxes when you convert it, but now it's in a Roth IRA because there sure. is no limit or restrictions on how much you can make to do conversions. So yeah. we don't want to forget about some of those loopholes. And if we are in a lower tax bracket in 1 year, it may make sense to look at converting even a larger portion of funds. We want to look at converting, of course, when we think we're going to be in a lower tax bracket than we may be in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a great strategy. If you make over the required amount and you still want to contribute to a Roth, you can always put the money in a traditional and convert it to Roth. I like that strategy for those folks. So What's the next change for people out there that's coming in 2026?
When we talk about small business owners, this is one of my favorite groups of people to plan for, because you typically have self-employed people looking for tax deductions. You've just got more opportunities to help, one, them put away more money, but two, be proactive from a tax standpoint than you do with just like a W-2 wage earner from a typical employer. The plans that I see most often used for small business owners would be like a SEP IRA, a simple IRA, a solo 401k. So our SEP IRA, let's talk about it first. The contribution limits are rising to $72,000 a year, but you are limited to 25% of your compensation. That's not new. 25%'s always been there. The $72,000 is new, but you have to pay attention to both numbers. So you may want to look at, if you're somebody that's trying to put away the maximum amount of money, maybe get the maximum tax deduction, get it out of what you're going to pay income taxes on, a solo 401k, a self-employed person can potentially get up to $35,750 into the plan, especially if you're ages 60 to 63, you get a super catch up. So
yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, we're talking much bigger numbers to be able to put away. And oftentimes those are your folks that are looking for bigger tax deductions. And how do we set more money aside for ourselves?
And I bet a lot of small business owners and self-employed folks don't realize how a lot of times I bet they don't realize how much they can put away.
Right. They don't. And for some, again, we're not looking to necessarily max it out, but I see a mistake made sometimes where somebody just assumes the SEP is the right way to go. And then they bump into that 25% of their compensation, wish they would have done more, didn't realize, gosh, I could have gone the route of doing a solo 401k and I could have squeezed out some more money. Maybe that would have made more sense. So knowing your options, knowing what those contribution limits have increased to, it's a lot to keep track of. I know for us, we don't expect that our clients are, you know, listening to this, taking notes and jotting down $35,750, $72,000 up to 25%. Right. It would be a lot to try to keep track of, which is why we want to have proactive, constant communication with our clients. So we know what they're looking to accomplish. Our job then is to find the vehicles and the plans and, you know, the products and the, just the overall holistic, organized plan to help accomplish what their goals and objectives are for that year.
For their own personal needs. And that's where you come in to sort all that out. It's a lot to keep track of. So what's next?
I think health savings accounts deserve a little attention here. The contribution limits are rising for those again. These are also, you know, fairly new in the scope of what kind of accounts do we have to set money aside. So they're somewhat misunderstood. For individuals, you can put away $4,400 next year. For families, it's $8,750. HSAs remain one of the most tax-efficient retirement tools that we have because they come with a triple tax benefit. You get the deduction up front on the contributions. You get the tax-free growth on the interest that's earned within the account. And then when you pull the money out, it works like a Roth. It's a tax-free withdrawal as long as I'm using it for medical expenses.
Yeah.
So that's the one caveat, but a huge benefit if we can start socking money away in these.
It's the only IRS designation that offers you all three tax breaks and one designation. That's why I've heard it said it's the best, one of the best savings vehicles. And people say, well, I have to use it on medical, but you can use it on premiums, copays, deductibles, and even over the counter things like aspirin and other things like Tylenol and things like that. So it is huge, and people will have a lot more out of pocket medical expenses in retirement than they think, even with Medicare, right?
Yes. And that's an important point. You can use this for Medicare premiums for Part B and Part D. You can use it for long-term care insurance premiums. I think the confusion that has stemmed in the past that HSAs have to be used that year or you lose it.
They never expire, right? You can let it sit in there and grow, and it can grow too. It can be attached to.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be invested, kind of like a, you know, your 401k, your IRA. So it's invested.
It's like a retirement account, but for medical expenses.
I think the confusion maybe has come with flex spending accounts. If you were somebody who had access to a flex spending account, those had to be used each year or you lost the money that
use it or lose it with flex.
Yeah.
But HSAs, you can build it up over the years and put it, max it out each year and leave that money in there. And then you can use it in retirement. But the average couple will spend over $300,000 in medical expenses during their retirement. That's amazing.
And it's probably going to continue to go up. We know healthcare and medical related expenses are just astronomical. So every little bit helps. You know, a family contribution limit of $8,750 might not sound like much, but you do that every year and you don't use it and you get that power of compounding, and we're not going to lose a dime to taxes when we pull it out later.
You get a break now for the money you put in. You don't have to pay taxes on that money now. So it brings down your taxable income for the year when you put it in, and then it grows tax-free and it comes out tax-free. It's a triple tax benefit. And I've read that it's the only IRS designation that allows that triple tax benefit is the HSA. Now, unfortunately, not everyone has access to an HSA, but I know they're trying to make laws on both sides of the aisles. Bills have been proposed and they're trying to fix that where more people will have access to them. So,
yeah. And the one thing I would say, too, if you're somebody that's still a little bit worried about, well, what if I don't end up having enough in medical expenses and I put all this money away for all these years?
It's still yours.
After 65, you can pull money out for any reason without penalty. You just pay income tax, similar to the traditional IRA.
Yeah, it's just like it becomes a traditional IRA if you don't use the money for something medically related. And after 65. I've read those rules too. They include a lot of things. I mean, much anything you could buy at a pharmacy almost. So, Band-Aids, everything like that. So
speaking of Medicare, let's shift gears a little bit to Social Security. And I know we've done a whole episode on the changes with Social Security, but as a reminder, we do have a 2.8% cost of living adjustment to payments that people receive for Social Security. So it's a slight increase. The 2025 COLA, or cost of living adjustment, was 2.5. So it's up a little bit. Well, what does that tell us? Well, it tells us that inflation is still high, right? We still have to account for inflation. So it's not as high as it has been. We're going to see a monthly check that's probably going to go from an average retiree from like 2015 and 2025 to maybe 2071 and 2026. Married couples are going to see maybe from 3,100 to 3,200. So it's modest, but it's something. Problem is, most of that is going to be eaten up by the higher Medicare Part B premiums. Those are going up almost 12%. So it's going to, your premium, Part B premium, is going to rise by $21.50, I believe. So something to be aware of and not be caught off guard.
Yeah, that'll take up about half of it probably for most people. Yeah, so that's an interesting change right there. COLA happens every year, and that's a pretty average amount. I think we got spoiled a few years back by the, what was it, 8.5, 8.7, I guess?
Yeah, we had a couple of big years in there that spoiled us, and that's not the norm. You know, we're not going to see those most years.
Yeah. That's true. And it's frustrating because all the healthcare costs have gone up exponentially.
Right.
It would be nice to see Social Security do a better job keeping up with that. But my mom always used to say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. That's an old phrase.
That's right. Yeah. I've heard that many times. So I think the other thing to be aware of is the Social Security taxable wage is increasing, which means whatever our amount that we're paying in is going to increase a little bit. The 2025 sure. limit. So if you're not aware, there is a limit on how much we earn that is taxed for Social Security. In 2025, that limit was $184,500. In 2026, it's going up to about $192,000. So more of your wages can be taxed for Social Security.
If higher income earners, so if you make yes. a lot, you'll see a little bit more taken out for Social Security. I would expect they're going to keep doing that and maybe even more to try to, prop up right. Social Security and get that Social Security Trust Fund built back up.
Yeah, there are several things that have happened recently in regard to Social Security. We yeah. got the Social Security deduction as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. We've had several things that, the increases that have come about. The problem with that is they're all things that we want for the people that are on Social Security, but we have to consider how they are potentially negatively impacting future Social Security payments. So something has to change. This is a slight change that may help prop up the future concerns about insolvency. And I think last I looked, the estimates were maybe that we're about 7 years away from possible yeah. insolvency if no changes are made. So it's just something to be aware of, not an immediate crisis, but something that we have to keep in mind.
Hopefully the politicians won't keep kicking that can down the road and avoiding dealing with it. Hopefully they'll make the, because there's some simple changes they could make, people would feel it a bit, like raising the full retirement age. And again, maybe removing that limit on how much of income can be taxed. Those are a couple of ways right there they could fix yeah. it. But
we'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. It's the old we'll have to wait and see for that government to move plot along. So for retirement, I think people need to be aware of all of these things. And do our listeners, what can they do to take action on all the items you've talked about today?
Well, a couple of things. One, be aware of what you're reliant upon in retirement. If you're somebody who you think, I'm going to rely pretty heavily on Social Security, well, then we should be modeling most likely some more conservative scenarios. If there's a potential for benefits to be cut, let's just say by 20 to 30%, which is some of the estimates that, here's what may happen if we don't fix it, then let's just plan for a worst case scenario now. Let's not pray and hope that nothing is going to be happen and we'll just cross our fingers and hope the plan is sustainable. Let's go ahead and plan for what if benefits are less, and then let's diversify those income sources as much as we can. That's why it's going to become even more important that we're paying ourselves first, that we are putting as much away into those retirement accounts, into HSAs, into annuities, all of the things that are going to go create additional lifetime streams of income. Unfortunately, we find ourselves in a time period where we don't have pensions like we did in years past. We have 401k accounts. And if somebody's not contributing to their own 401k account, we're retiring with people who are going to be extremely reliant upon Social Security. And we have a bit of an unknown there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really, really important. You covered a lot today, Jamie, a lot of good stuff. So before we go, let our listeners out there know how they can get a hold of you to set up that no charge, no obligation consultation.
Yes, we're always willing and able. We're happy to meet with people to see where we can make the biggest impact. If there's an area that we can help improve your financial life, that starts with simply reaching out to our office to request an initial consultation. So you can call us. The number at the office is 620-377-6456. You can also go to our website, and that web address is a long one, but it's simply our company name, ironhorsefinancialservices.com. You go out there, you can click a book now, or phone number is out there if you forget it. But just let us know that you want to sit down and have a private conversation about how these things impact you, where maybe somebody like us is able to help, and we're happy to provide some guidance.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jamie. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Fly on the Wall Finance with our host, Jamie Malm.
And happy Thanksgiving week.
That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.